कुछ लोग आए हुए थे, उन्होंने बंद कर दिया। कनेक्टिंग ऑस्कर, कनेक्टिंग टू जॉन बॉडवेल स्विमिंग। हेलो एवरीवन,
हेलो,
हेलो,
गुड
टेल मी हाउ आर
मॉर्निंग,
यू?
गुड
गुड मॉर्निंग।
मॉर्निंग। वी आर गोइंग टू गिव इट अ कपल मिनट्स फॉर एवरीवन टू जंप ऑन।
मैं कोड पा के बैग
Hi everyone, this is Shokat from Pakistan.
Good morning. If everyone wants to jump on mute for the time for right now, while we get everyone going, that would be great. But we'll give everyone a wave. Feel free to give a wave or a clap or a thumbs up in your screen as well. Good morning to those of you joining. We're still going to give it another minute or two for other folks to jump on. Just a friendly reminder to hang out on mute if you don't mind. Please feel free to turn your screens on. In this age, we love to see people's faces, so we always appreciate that. So feel free to. No obligation, no pressure, but please feel free to. Love to see so many people coming on. Good morning to those of you who are still jumping on. We have about another minute we're going to give folks to jump on. For those of you who just popped on, friendly reminder, if you don't mind holding on mute for the time being, feel free to turn your videos on. We love to see people's faces. Again, no obligation. All right, well, good morning, everyone. We want to thank you for joining us. As a quick reminder, please feel free to jump onto mute, and also feel free to pull your camera on so we can see your faces. No obligation, though, of course, to do any of that, but would love to see it. So we want to thank you all for joining us here this morning. For those I haven't had the pleasure of meeting, my name is Jeremy Haldeman. I'm the Director of Government Relations and Advocacy for Alight in Washington, D.C. And I kind of loosely always describe what I do as, you know, my job is to connect policymakers, thinkers, doers, and legislators to our amazing staff, volunteers, and customers around the world. I think many of you are familiar with Alight, of course, but for those of you who are not, you know, we build lives for and with the displaced in countries around the world. We really believe in bringing what we have to bear alongside our customers and the people we serve to help them build the lives that they want to build and rebuild for themselves. And we do that alongside with them. And what we're launching today is a five-part series that we're calling a WorkShare series. And what we wanted to do was open the door to you all. We wanted to give you an inside look at five incredible programs and initiatives that we have that are working around the world. So we really appreciate you all joining us here this morning. Just a couple of housekeeping things before we jump into today's. Like I said, this is the beginning of a five-part series. There'll be a link that we'll put in the chat to the end so you can see what we're going to be doing. But it's over the next five Thursdays. And we just wanted to find a new and interesting way to let you all in and see what we're doing and what our staff, volunteers, and customers are doing around the world. At the end of this, there will definitely be a Q&A. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with today's. We'll do a quick introduction, a brief presentation, and then an interactive question and answer session at the end. Please do feel free to hold your questions to the end, or you can pop them in the chat as you decide to go. So without further ado, we're going to begin. So today's presentation is by Kamran Loan. He's the Deputy Chief of Party for Alight in Pakistan. He's a really highly experienced implementer of education policy reforms, and he specializes in education management of formal and non-formal and higher education. He's a teacher, he does teacher professional development, teacher management, and student and teacher assessment. He has a master's degree in educational administration and leadership from the University of New South Wales in Australia, and a master's in commerce with a specialization in accounts and management. He has a really long history, 20-year history, in fact, of working across the commercial and development sector. And we're incredibly fortunate to have him actually here with us today and with our organization in Pakistan. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Kamran. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with a series of get to know you questions so you all can get a little of an inside look at what he does and how in the work that he does. And then we're going to go into a short presentation. So, and I should mention, today is the WorkShare series that you're seeing today. What we're opening the door to you all for, so you can get an inside look at, is a really interesting education program called Radio Milan. And it was something that was born out of COVID and the necessity to actually find a way to continue to work and educate young students in Pakistan who were actually not able to go to school. So not dissimilar to things I think we're seeing in this country and elsewhere, but Kamran will actually be able to give you a really interesting and insight look at that. So, Kamran, if you are there, we're going to start with the question and answer series. And so the first thing, can you give us now I gave a little bit of your history, but can you give us a brief overview of you? Can you tell us something about you that we would never have known whether it's on your resume or not, but I think we're interested in getting an inside look. Can you tell us the story of Kamran in 90 seconds or less?
Okay, thank you very much. Hello, everybody. Hello from Pakistan. Thank you. Thank you for being here and sharing this experience for what we have done in Pakistan. So you have given, I think, a lot of my background, what I have done. The interesting part is that this is the second profession. And I started my career with accounts and management. I did master's in finance and chartered accountant as well. But my first assignment when I did was a small NGO working on a out-of-school children way back in 97, 98. So my first assignment was to do the internal audit for that organization. When I was working with them, doing field work with them to verification and all these things, I realized that the work they were doing is remarkable. And it took my interest. And I decided at that point that I should not go to the private sector. I should go into the development sector. I should pursue my career in the development sector. My that decision, I made a lot of people unhappy and sad with my decision. But really now I see that I have made a very right decision that I was working with the kids who doesn't have the facility and privilege to get education due to the many reasons in that. So this was my start in development sector, and it was by choice. I didn't came, this was my personal decision that I need to work in the development sector. So traveling to the different in development sector, I worked within finance for 5 years, but then I finally decided to go into the education management and policy decision because there was a lot of gap between the policies and implementation. I was looking at the huge gap in the policy decisions which were made at that time. So the reason was that I came back, I turned my career into education policy, and I went to Australia to get some educational background knowledge so that I have I can make a good contribution in the education policy in Pakistan. So that was the reason when I came back from Australia, I made a good contribution in policy development. Luckily, I was fortunate to, at that time, the education policy 2009 was in a process phase. So I made a good contribution in developing a complete one chapter, which was chapter 6 of teacher education in Pakistan. So that was a consulted process. I led that process and I was able to develop that policy in Pakistan. In addition to that, I was also able to do that some remarkable new things, like we developed the national professional standards for teacher first time in Pakistan. And that standards led to develop the new curricula, new teacher education programs in Pakistan that led to redesign the teacher education programs, teacher professional development programs in Pakistan. And also helped in redesigning the textbooks as well, based on the national professional standards for the teachers. So this was the whole little story that I've been contributing in starting from the grassroots level, from the working in the field with the communities, with the children, mostly the children who are working in labor. They were working in hotels, workshops, at homes, carpet weaving sectors. So they were dangerous, brick kilns. So these were my start. And then I moved to the policy level to contribute in the overall policy development in Pakistan. So I had both experience of field and the policy decisions.
That's really amazing. I have a couple more questions, but also want to say we can't see you. So if you, and we also know connectivity, no matter where in the world in these days, can be goofy, but if you can jump onto camera, I know we would also love to see that. So you have this really amazing story about how you came into the education policy and reform sector. Can you give us a little insight as to what drew you to Alight?
The work, the children, the work the Alight is right now doing with the kids. This is the work which fascinated me to work with the Alight. I started my career with the kids, and that was my passion. Which made me a decision to change my career from the private sector to development sector. So I was missing from the last 10 years. Initially, for 10 years, I worked with the kids, with the people, with the children, with the disadvantaged and the poor people. But from the last 10 years, I was working on the policy level, and I was missing that passion which made me decision to work in the field. So that when I've learned about the Alight, I knew about the Alight. So this was the work which attracted me to work and join Alight, that I can contribute directly with the kids. I can work with the kids, with the children, and can see the happy faces there in the schools, not in the hotels and everywhere outside the outdoor schools. So that helped me. This is the passion that I really attracted me for this.
You know, and that's great. I mean, your story of giving back and wanting to then continue to give back in these ways and how you landed Alight is really amazing. Can you tell us then, how did that translate into the launch of this new radio program? And I know you don't have to get into the background because I know you're going to walk us through it, but how did your background of wanting to always give back, what then triggered this new program that you started just a couple years ago?
Okay. Jumping to the radio program, just give you a brief statistic that how it helped me to, how it helped Alight to decide that we should go to the radio programs. There are around 50 million children who are in the bracket of age 5 to 16, should be in the primary age. Out of them, there are 45% children who are out of school, which becomes the 22.8 million. This is the a rough estimate, which is not not accurate maybe, but there are more children more than that. But there are 22.8 million children who are out of school, who have never been to school. There are many reasons for that. Poverty could be, social culture norms as well, political issues, access issues, or teaching attitude maybe issues, which drop out the children, which led to the dropout of the children. But these are the children where we Alight is working with them. And there was Alight is working for 1 million out of school children in Pakistan. This is one of the target which is set out by the Alight in Pakistan. There is an organization, there is a fund, Education Above All, Qatar, and they have set a target for throughout the country, throughout the world, that 10 million out of school should be provided. The underprivileged children, marginalized children, should be brought back to the schools. The education facility should be provided for them. Alight is working, contributing to the 10 million. 1 million for the Pakistan. So we have so far achieved 0.8 million, around 800,000 children. We have worked with the different education institutions with a different approach, which never been thought about that. And I would like to just give you 1 minute on that. What are the different approach we are applying in that? Instead of opening new schools in Pakistan, we are working with the government institutions, federal education ministry, provincial education ministries, local NGOs, making 28 partnerships organizations with the different organizations to strengthen their capacity so that they can work on a maximum strength and they can absorb the out of school children. So we have a, this helped to institutionalize the approach we had to bring the out of school children in Pakistan. Recently, when the COVID came in and it closed down all schools, the issue was that most of the children, especially the disadvantaged children, which who do not have access to education and the resources to education, they were out of schools and they were far from the other resources. Government of Pakistan started developing some interventions, started thinking on designing some interventions to benefit those children who are out of school due to the COVID. And these were the all children. All of them were out of school. Nobody was in schools. So there was a lot of thoughts going on to develop, to use TV, cable, and get some of the online teaching classes so that we can make a meaningful engagement of the children during the COVID, being staying at home. But all of these initiatives are focusing to the children who are privileged, who have the facility for the TV, cable, and gadgets like tablets, computer, internet facility. But no one was thinking about the, those children who are out of school, who are disadvantaged, who doesn't have these resources. Like the people who are in the villages, they don't have these gadgets. They don't have the access to the TV and cable. And far-flung areas where we experience 20 to 21 hours of the electricity outage. No electricity is provided for available in the villages. So what about those children? So we were very much worried about those children who we Alight was working throughout the country and throughout the world as well. So we decided, we tried to negotiate, we tried to convince the government of Pakistan to have something like that, the program which can focus on these children as well. But no one was interested in that. We discuss ourselves. After our thorough discussions, we decided that there is the only medium which is which can be cheap and which can be available in the areas where there is no electricity. And that can be helped if we can develop something, some education material, it can address the, it can reach to the children which are disadvantaged and they can also be engaged meaningfully for the education during this closed down period. This was the starting point. This gave us an idea that radio can be the best part. Initially, from the last many decades, the radio has not been used in Pakistan for teaching purpose. They have been used for recreational purpose throughout the country. But developing these education programs was a new idea after a long time. It was done earlier in 90s, but not from the last 20, 30 years, it was not done before. So this was an idea which came us that this is the cheapest and easy access method where we can reach the maximum children in Pakistan.
That's really amazing. And I know you're going to get in, there's probably a lot of questions about some of the stuff that you just walked through. And I know you're going to get into depth in that in the presentation. So So thanks for that overview. So can I also, you know, just steering a little back to, I mean, I think we're all just so interested. I mean, I'll say this is, you know, here in the US, I think, you know, we hear so much about the work and the people. And one of the amazing things about Alight is, right, we don't ever talk about ourselves, right? It's always about the customers. It's always about the end users of our products and services and how can we work with them. But I'm also curious a little bit, like, to, you know, pull back the curtain a little bit more on Kamran. And can you give us, when you think about, you know, the contribution in the education sector that you want to make, and not getting into the, you know, the presentation at all, because I know you'll get there, can you talk a little bit more about what is it that, what do you see as the future of education in Pakistan? And I know you'll dovetail into that a little bit, but at the presentation, but can you tell us a little bit more about kind of the future of education, and how things may have changed during COVID, both for the positive and for the negative?
Yeah. Thanks for that. If we look at the current situation in Pakistan, I see that there is the gap between the children who have the facilities and resources and who doesn't have. The gap is increasing and it has had dramatically increased. The children who are poor and the disadvantaged, they have become more disadvantaged due to this COVID program because they are not having, the children who have the facilities and who have the resources to access that, mostly children are going, they have been involved in the online teaching program from all private schools. But the public schools, they are disadvantaged and they don't have these facilities. The gap is increasing and it has drastically increased. And you see that there is a lot of studies is going on a lot of research is going on in throughout the world that it says that if a child is away more than 3 months or 3 months from the schooling, from the education, the child lost everything, whichever he or she has learned throughout the year. And we are now in the 6 months of the close down. The children who are in private schools, they are still advantaged. They are in connection with the education, but the children who are in government schools, public schools, or in the non-formal schools, they're not connected to the education.
You've really seen that gap in a negative way accelerated during COVID.
Yes, mm-hmm. But how can we improve that? I have been discussing with the federal ministry and provincial ministries for the last 1 month that now this month they have opened some of the schools in phases. They are opening the schools in phases, like we have started secondary level and high secondary level right now, and we are going to open the secondary post-primary level from 23rd and from the 1st. But the problem is that, challenge is that the children who will be coming after 6 months, they have almost lost everything which they have learned. So what are the mechanism? What are the situation that how can we tackle them, bring them back to the education, put them on track so that they can start teaching on that level which they have lost before the 6 months? So there should be a system. I've been discussing with the education ministries and the professors that we must have a refresher course for like 2 months or 3 months so that we can recover the gap, recover the loss which they have made in the 6 months. So I've been working with some of the universities, Islamic Baloch University and the provincial education departments, in developing I have developed a course for the 2 months. We have worked the academic calendar for them, for the Punjab and different other provinces as well. We have developed the workbooks so that these are the 2 months workbooks. If the students, let's say if a child was in class 3 before lockdown in March 2020, and when he or she comes in right now, so she should go through these 2 months workbooks. If she completes that 2 months workbook, the loss she has done in the last 6 months, that can be recovered. So I'm working on these systems that all the schools who are children come back, return their education, they can recover their loss of this in 2 months. So Alight have been successful in convincing the Punjab, 2 or 3 provinces in doing that. So all our teaching learning material we have developed in the Alight have been adopted by UNICEF Punjab. Today they have accepted that we are going to use your books. So Punjab Literacy Department is using our books. Like GB, 3 districts has accepted and they are using the material which we have developed in Alight Pakistan right now. So this is the one of the contribution we are doing, keeping in mind the people, the children who have been back in the schools in addition to the radio program which we are doing right now.
That's great. So I'm going to ask you one more question about yourself, and I'm gonna be slightly unfair and say you cannot talk about the program that you're about to give us an overview in an inside look at. So when you think of your time at Alight, what has been the most interesting or most surprising thing that you've discovered or done or been able to do? And I'm being unfair because you can't talk about what you're about to talk about since you're going to get into it.
Okay. So there are a lot of interesting things which we are doing here in Alight in Pakistan. There's a diversified field. There you can do a lot in Pakistan because there is a lot of need to do that. Like teachers training for the non-formal education centers, non-formal schools has been a very weak area in Pakistan. In non-formal sectors, you have less qualified teachers. You select the teachers from the community. They're not qualified as they should be to teach the children. And mostly the children in our non-formal schools are in a multi-grade. So there are, if there are 40 students, we have just established 50 schools here in Gilgit-Baltistan recently. So there are 40 students in a class. 20 out of them are from grade 1, 10 are from grade 2, and 10 from grade 3. Having low qualification, low experience, no pedagogical skills, how can a teacher can manage these multidimensional groups and can teach them effectively? So there is a dire need of having a training program for the non-formal sector, which is not there in Pakistan. So I've been working on that. We have developed an online portal as well. We are working with the Oxidemy, UK-based organization, and as well as with the Ilam Iqbal Open University, who was one of the biggest distance learning teaching program university. So we are working with them in developing a standardized teaching program, like an induction teacher training program for a month, leading to a 6 months diploma program. So on next week, we will be going to launch this training program. This is the one of the area, this is my passion, that how can we develop the human resources and we can have more effective training programs. Secondly, another area where we are integrating IT into the in the teaching programs. There is a myth. There was a myth that the teachers of the non-formal schools cannot handle these tablets or if they are provided these tablets and gadgets. But we have experimented in 50 schools in Gilgit, and now we are experimenting almost 13,000 schools in Punjab Literacy Department. If we provide all the material in the tablet and we just provide this tablet with a certain training program to the teachers, they can use all this material because there is no internet. But if we provide the preloaded material to them with the videos and the other instruction material, that can help a lot. I have been involved in evaluating a continuous professional development program done by the Punjab government, and they've been using the tablets, LCTs and internet facilities for teaching instead of face-to-face, which cost you a lot. Face-to-face teaching cost you a lot because you have to pay the travel and transportation, everything. So they have been using the tablets, internet connectivity, so that they can teach online, like we are doing that. So we have been experimenting those things as well in Gilgit-Baltistan, which is a very hard area, but we are implementing, piloting 5 hotspot Wi-Fi services, which can provide the education facilities in 1 kilometer area. We're also starting mobile teaching and library vans in Gilgit-Baltistan and other areas as well. So this is a van which has all the material, reading material and the gadgets as well, which can move to the areas where there is no school available. So they will stay there with that van is equipped with the books and as well as the teacher as well. So teacher will move to the areas and they will teach over there, and they'll move to different areas. In one day, this van will cover 30 different areas. So these are the experiments, and really interesting to tell you that these experiments are helping us to have a more creative in Pakistan as well. And
those are really great examples of how, you know, we're able to do it, you know, right? Which I love hearing these really creative ways that we're delivering and driving value to and for our customers in a way. And especially on the IT example you used is with the tablets, you took what was this basically a societally accepted negative norm and actually proved it dead wrong. But not only proved it dead wrong, you 10 or 100x'd it wrong, proved it wrong. So I think I love that example. So thank you for sharing it with us. So I'm actually going to now, you know, so thank you for that inside look at you and some of the work that you're doing and how you got to this point. And so now I'm going to actually hand it over to you. We're going to screen share your presentation, And so just so folks know a little bit of housekeeping, the presentation will be about 10 to 15 minutes, and then we'll go into the question and answer session at the end. So again, feel free to pop your questions into the chat or hold them till the end. We are happy to do either. So without further ado, here you go. And thank you.
So,
you're up.
Can you go to the next slide? Thank you. So this is, I've already mentioned that there are 22.8 million children in Pakistan who are out of schools. They are not attending any schools. A light is focusing on this 22.8. It's a huge task. We can't work alone. So we are taking all the government institutions in Pakistan along with these efforts, along with this journey, so that all of our efforts are sustained from the day one. So I just mentioned that we have made 28 partnership, working with 28 organizations, institutions together is a really a challenging task. I think the light is working very hard to managing is this. And this is the one of the success I'm seeing, that after the completion of this project, all of our efforts will be sustained in Pakistan, wherever we have done in, we have been working in 55 districts in Pakistan. So whatever the small input we have done to reach 1 million children, we believe that these efforts will be sustained after we are over this project, and that will be continued. So can you move to the next slide? So enrolling 1 million kids is a really a challenging task. As I mentioned that we have been working with the provincial education ministries. We have been working with a lot of local NGOs. Who are working in the fields, they have been contributing a lot. So our small contribution is making a big change. So far, we have achieved to 0.86 million children in Pakistan. And just before the COVID, that milestone was achieved in 2 years. And we believe that if this lockdown would be over, we have been working with the institutions in re-enrolling and start launching the different enrollment campaigns in Pakistan. So that has been starting in September right now. So we believe that before March 2021, we will be able to enroll all these 1 million children. And we believe that the target will be overachieved by the end of the April, by the end of the project as well. Can you move to the next slide? Yeah, so this is the area where we started thinking on developing a medium of instructions or something, a teaching program where everyone can reach to this, everyone can access to that without spending much amount. So a small radio program, radio is a medium. We did a study, we did a research that we were working in Gilgit-Baltistan, which is a hilly station and it's far away from the and very disadvantaged area as well. So we studied there. Still there, the radio was a very popular medium. Why the radio was very popular? The reason was that people didn't have access to the TV. They didn't have access to the cable. They were listening to the radio very frequently. And it helped us to understand that the radio could be a medium where we can use it positively for teaching purpose. And especially in the lockdown, when the kids are at home, radio can be very instrumental for them. So we started, can you just move to the next slide? Yeah, we started with, we had 50 non-formal schools and 10 elementary schools in Gilgit-Baltistan. We started to focus on these children in Gilgit-Baltistan, like 1,800 or 2,000 children, kids in non-formal schools. And we started developing the program. Initially, when we started the program, Alight was not a radio station. We didn't have the equipment at all. We didn't have the resources at all. And especially at the point of the lockdown, everything was locked down. No shop was available. We didn't have any equipment at all. But the only thing which we have that the passion and the commitment, we wanted to do that. Being an educationist, we started designing the program. After designing the program, we started developing its scripts and all this material, writing scripts and designing the whole program, how it should look like.
In at a primary level, there are two sections, early primary and the upper primary. Early primary consists of 1, 2, 3 grade. And the curriculum is same with some certain degree of advancement. So we took early primary grade 1, 2, 3. We selected their SLOs, the key SLOs, which can be taught through the radio program, which doesn't require much face-to-face teaching as well. So we selected those and we started developing, writing scripts on the SLOs.
Could you again just tell us what does SLO mean?
Student learning outcomes. Basically, right. These are the objectives set out in the curriculums for each subject, for each topic. So though we took that student learning outcomes, and important thing was that every province in Pakistan has a different textbook, but the curriculum is a national. So it's a very interesting. If we took the GB and we use the textbooks and we develop a certain thing on that, that will be focused for the GB. But we, from the day one, we did not focused on a province. We took the national curriculum and we took the national level objectives of each subjects. And on the basis of that, we selected them and critical SLOs, critical objectives, and we developed that. Objective from the day one was that if we do this for one province, we can use it for other provinces as well. So from the day one, we were in approach that we will pilot here and we will expand it throughout the country as well. So we started working that. The next challenge we faced, this was the biggest challenge we faced while developing the radio program. This was the internal one. We could do that internally because we had an expertise within the house. But recording was a difficult challenge. There was a close down. People were not able to move. Having discussion with the recording, giving them the audition, whose voice could be the best for the recording purpose, this was a real challenge with that. We had to do it to Zoom. So we selected different teachers who can do the recording for the scripted lesson plans. So there were a lot of, initially we didn't have the equipment. If you see in the, you can see the mic here, we didn't have the professional mic for the recording. What we did that, we used mobiles. We were very passionate to do that. We just said that, okay, we don't need any equipment, let's do it for the mobile. And the first 5 episodes, we recorded all the episodes through mobile phone, cell phone. And we used the editor to make it more professionally, to improve the volume of the, to increase the efficiency of the recording system. So editor made some good input in that. But we didn't stop at all. We started with the mobile sets. So after a period when, interestingly, in order to make the radio program interesting for the kids, we included stories, we included poems, we included games, and we included some traditional games, which the children were used to play at home. We used that games and converted them into the educational games. These two kids, you can see the children, one is the old grade 11 and one other one is the grade 9. Both of them, we used them, trained them to host this program and do this educational games, play. They were playing the educational games, covering the educational curriculums. So we selected 10 games which the kids were used to play and we converted them into game. This was the interesting part when we realized when we went to the field, the kids really enjoyed these games and they learned a lot from these games. It was an interesting idea, and especially these ideas came from these two kids as well. Luckily, these gave us the idea. We also included health and hygiene program in it and character building, how to behave when you are in lockdown. These were the special areas we used in the radio program. So because the kids didn't have, they were blank, they didn't know how to behave when they are locked down. After 1 week or 2 week, what to do that. So we included a special segment, what should they do? How should they behave with the parents? How should they behave with the kids, the brothers and neighbors as well? How should they behave to avoid the COVID as well? So these are the health and hygiene, a character building component was included in the curriculum very specially. Specifically, it was learned by that. So we started with the 2,000 children and we developed this program. But before launching the program from the private channel, we went to the education department, Gilgit-Baltistan, and we shared that this is the program we are going to launch. Give us a concurrence, give us approval so that there is nothing illegal or there's nothing critical from the ethnic point of view or from the other point of view, which is can be objectionable from the security point of view. So they made a committee of three people, 3 to 4 subject experts from the teaching side, from the education department, from another department. They, when they started reviewed the first 5 episodes, their job was to review and give us a feedback that these are okay. But when they provided the feedback to the secretary, that was really encouraging for us. They said this program is accidentally matching the objectives of the curriculum, and it should not be only focused to the 2000 children. They recommended secretary education that it should be launched throughout the province because all of the children are out of school and they can get benefit out of it. That response was really encouraging, that gave us a motivation to do that. And it has really given us a real encouragement for us. So we, instead of going to the private radio channel, we went to the Radio Pakistan. It's a national broadcasting station, Radio Pakistan. And we asked them to broadcast it throughout the province. Another positive response from them, they said, we give you 30% discount as a contribution and you just go it. That was a really another encouraging. And we found that these steps, these decisions helped us to motivate ourselves more into this program. So we launched this program throughout the province. And finally, we were able to reach, instead of 2,000 children, we were able to reach 200,000 children. Why I'm saying this 200,000 children? There is an evidence for that. We developed a mechanism with the government institutions. Government sent a directive to all the teachers in the province that you have to listen to this program as well. And you have to approach all the children in your location, in your locality, and at least 5, because children were not able to come to school, but the teacher can go to the home, visit their homes, ask each individual children that how was the program, whatever you learned today. So this, they were giving the feedback and they were reporting on a daily basis. When we received the reports, we made a calculation. We found that all of the schools were able, not only the government schools, private schools also were able to, the children in the private schools, they also listened to that. And they also provided the feedback as well. So this was a very encouraging that instead of 200, we went to the 200,000 kids throughout the province. It's a small province, but it has reached to the maximum. Can you move to the next slide? Thank you. What next? We have developed the radio program for grade 1, 2, 3 level. But the response we received from this education department and kids and the teachers, that was very encouraging. We decided to move forward. The move forward in the two ways. One way is that we started developing the radio program grade 4 and 5. Let me give you one more thing, that without our donor who was providing funds for us, like one of the donors I would like to mention here, Central Asian Institute, they were providing some funds for the Gilgit-Baltistan. But without their quick decision, we asked them that we want to divert this funds to the radio program, and they gave us permission in one day. That was the starting point. We're really thankful to the CI that they have provided us the opportunity to pilot this program. In expanding the program, now we are developing the grade 4 and 5 program so that we have a complete package for all primary level. There were 30 episodes for grade 1, 2, 3, and there are now 40 episodes for grade 4, 5. We have almost completed 50% of the grade 4, 5 episodes. Now, by the next week, we will be completing all the primary course. We'll be covering all the primary course. This is the one way we are moving forward. And the second way, we try to convince Federal Education Ministry that this is the program. If you start this program before starting the school, the students can recover whatever the loss they have done in the 6 months. This can help you to have a remedial program as a refresher program. And fortunately, we are able to convince the Federal Education Ministry right now. And Federal Education Ministry is now hiring Radio Pakistan, making an MOU with them, Radio Pakistan, and they're hiring 3 hours to broadcast on a radio teaching program. And we are very happy to see that, to tell that, to share with you that out of 3 hours, they have allocated 2 hours for a light Pakistan, 1 hour for grade 1, 2, 3, and 1 hour for grade 4, 5. So they still don't have any further program for third hour. So if they said that if we don't get anything else, so we will broadcast the same program twice, once in the morning as well, and once in the evening level. So this is a great achievement. They have taken it. And once the federal ministry is going to do that, it is going to broadcast throughout the Pakistan, not on a specific area, throughout the Pakistan. That includes 31 FM radio channels and 3 medium wave radio channels. And it can also reach to the Afghanistan as well. And it can reach to the Azad Kashmir and Indian borders as well. So it can cover all over the Pakistan. So they have signed an MOU. They're just hoping to start in the next week or in a week time. So this is a great opportunity that the program, which have been piloted for 2,000 children, now are going to reach across the Pakistan, all the children at primary level. That's all from my side.
That's amazing.
Any question?
That's amazing. So there's several people clapping.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, that's really incredible. So thank you for, you know, not only the presentation, but for the work. I think, you know, so I'll just throw out, we've gotten a few questions that have come in so far, both from the Q&A and then during the presentation. But if people have more, please do put them into the chat. But I'm going to jump into a couple of them now. So during the question and answer session, Cameron, you were actually talking about, you know, how many, obviously, children are out of school currently. And one of the questions that we got in was just about children's participation in school. And can you actually give us a little more insight into what are the top 2 or 3 factors that are actually limiting children's participation in school and is contributing to that 22.8 million number that you spoke about?
Yeah. I just mentioned that there's a major factor which was before certain times and now the government has taken is the poverty. Poverty is in the 2 terms. The poverty one in the term is that they don't have the funds, they don't have the money, they don't have the resources to supplement, to support the education of the children. And there is another poverty, poverty of thought, which people in most of the social culture areas, they think that girls should not be going to school. They should not be taught. So these 2 things restrict children to go to the schools, first of the element. Then there is an access element due to the political interference. Most of the schools from the last many years, the school have been established in the areas out of the residential areas. The access is a major issue. The smaller, younger children cannot walk far away to reach the schools. This is the second major areas. So rationalization of the schools is very difficult in Pakistan. I've been working in rationalization, but the distance is far away from the residential areas. And third one is the quality education. People think that children who have been studying in public schools, they don't get much knowledge, which helps them to get the jobs. Normally generally people link their education with the jobs. And if they don't get jobs, they see that their education is not viable. So they prefer to send their children to the workplaces like hotels, workshops, so that in 3-4 years, they can become the master for that and they can earn their own money instead of sending their children to the schools. So the quality of the teachers in the schools forces children to drop out from the children and prefer workplaces instead of the educations. So another element is that in Pakistan, teaching is not a professional degree. I've been working from the last 10 years in developing policy that like other provinces, the teaching should be a profession. So mostly teachers are hired without any professional degree of teaching. So they don't know how to teach. They might know the content to little level, but they don't know how to handle the children. They don't know the child psychology. They don't know to managing children, difficult children's difficulties of the children. So that forces children go to the out of the schools. This is a big challenge. We have around or more than 50% dropout at the primary level. Mostly children drop out from the school. They leave the school at the class of class 1 or 2. This is the major backlog and the major drawback of our teaching side comes in. Another element is that there is a huge gap between the primary and elementary schools. There are more primary schools, but there are very few elementary schools. And there are very, very few schools for the girls for the elementary level. So this is the big gap that if a child, we have been working in one of the area, just give you an example, there are in FATA, which was now merged in KP. It's a federally administrative tribal areas in KP. So there are 4,000 primary schools, but there are only 800 elementary schools. You can see the difference, the gap. The children have no opportunity to go beyond the elementary. We have done a lot of investment at primary level. We have not done at the secondary level, not at the post-primary level. So there is this gap restricts people going to the... Finally, the budget. Everybody knows that we have a very little allocated, very little amount, but that is not an issue. The major issue we have been working with the education ministry and the policy level, we found that whatever amount is allocated, that is not effectively utilized. That is not effectively expensed out during the financial year. Most of the funds is lapsed, get unspent. If we even spend those money accurately, effectively, efficiently, we can make a big change within the government. And finally, I would just close this one. One of the element is that no uniformity of the policies. If a good policy is made in Pakistan in first year or second year, third year, this policy is discarded without having research on that, whether it is going positive or negative. I have seen many good initiatives done by the development organizations, but these initiatives have not been taken along. And the result is that we are since back. And there is a disparity between the provinces as well. One province, Punjab, you might know that they are doing a far ahead because they are doing a good investment in the education. They have improved their education level a lot, but the other provinces, because of the lack of the resources and capacity, are far behind. So the uniformity of policies within the provinces is a real challenge I see. These are the major factors which are again increasing. You can count the population growth rate as well, which is the major phenomenon as well, but these initiatives are also affecting taking the children out of the schools because of these key reasons.
That's really fascinating. So thank you for walking us through that. So also, just to throw this out there, if you have enough connectivity and bandwidth, please do come and turn your camera on so we can see you when you're answering the questions. Another question that we got in is how do you address the gender education gap, right? I mean, I think it's something that exists in a lot of countries in the education systems. And, you know, how are you addressing that with this, and has it changed during COVID?
Yes, definitely. I give you just example. Whenever we are working in the field, there are two levels. When we are designing the programs, we need to see a gender lens that how the real situation is there. And secondly, when I worked on the policy level, you have to see that how this policy can address this gender gap. So let's talk about the first. I'll talk about the field level area when we are designing the different programs. When I was working in the different sectors in the field level and designing the different programs, we found that there are more girls out of the school. First program I designed in 1998-99 with the International Labour Organizations for the children who are working in labor industry, in bricklaying industry. We found that in a district, there are more girls out of school than the boys. We started developing a balance with that. So in all the schools, there are three areas where we focus on that. We started hiring the females for the teaching because they are more close to the education and they can invest more. So we found that more female teachers were interested in teaching as well as compared to the male. We found that the females who have never been allowed to go to the schools, we need to convince the communities, we need to make a lot of investment on convincing the parents and the community elders, especially the community elders, so that they can allow females to go to the schools. They don't. One of the example I give you in Gilgit-Baltistan yesterday, last week I was there. Just an example. There was a grade 9 student. There was no school in the. This was a far flung area, a very small village. There was no school available. There was a one grade 9 student there living there. She started teaching some of the kids. But somehow outside the people started knowing that this education has started. And one of the community elders said that This is not possible that our females can go to the schools. So that lady was killed out. But now we have established 3 schools over there. The only important thing is that we have tried to convince the parents first, tried to convince the elders as well. We have realized that this is the real need for the people. We need for the kids. Now they have allowed, which they were not allowing a year back. Now they have allowed to open 2 schools. We have opened 2 schools over there. This is the big major achievement for that. And the girls are going to the schools. Wherever we go there, in all of our non-formal school, more girls are coming there. There are more female girls are studying there. So this, the way we provide, try to provide the opportunities, the safe environment for the girls so that they can come over. Working with the communities, parents, elders is must. Without their help, we cannot move into the field and we cannot convince the parents to send their girls to the schools. At the policy level, when we talk about that, you need to have a gender lens that you, whenever you're making a policy, you have to, like in Khyber Pakhtunkhwa, when we were working in developing some opening of the school policies, so they are convinced and they made a very good policy that next year we are going to open 60% female schools and 40% boys schools. So this was a major policy decision and it helped a lot. They made another decision that in the next year, we are going to hire more female teachers as compared to the boy, male teachers. So this was another basic impact. In Punjab, if you see that, I can see that a lot of change. There was no concept of co-education. Like children were studying at us in the same school, but there was teachers were not teaching in same schools. But now they have developed model schools where female teachers and male teachers are both studying in one school. This is a major change within the community I can see in the last 10 years. So before that, we were not able to see the boys and male and female teaching in one school. So in one primary school, female teacher are teaching grade 1, 2, 3 and male teachers are teaching 4 and 5. So this is a major change. It's a policy change. The government has made a very good policies that converted all schools in the, this has solved many problems. One, shortage of schools. Shorter students, like when there were a female school and male school, and if in a community there is no female school, the females were sitting at home. But they converted the same school into the co-education that helped the female to come into the schools. So these are the key areas we are focusing on that we can make a big change. So there are a lot of examples we have done at the policy level, and we have contributed in focusing on girls' education as well.
You know, that's really amazing. And it sounds like, you know, when you're looking at the gender question in the gap, and that you are answering that question and solving it both at the field level and the policy level, which is really amazing. So we are actually really close to the end of our time. So we wanted to wrap up. We have a couple more questions that are in the chat. And what we're going to do is actually send those questions over to Kamran, and then we will certainly get back to you all on those as well. So we obviously love the interactivity and appreciate all the additional questions. So we don't want to box any questions out. So I assure you, we have the questions in the chat and we will circle back to you.
Sure.
With those. So Kamran,
I'd be happy to respond to this question. Definitely.
That's great. So thank you. So we'll capture those questions in the chat and then give them back and then follow back up with everybody. So for those interested in kind of continuing with the series and to see what's next, we actually have a QR code that's actually going to come up on the screen. It's super easy. All you have to do is take out your camera and point it at the, just point it at the screen and it's going to capture it. And then it's actually going to open up a link in your browser. And what that's going to do is it's going to give you a little more overview of the series, and it's going to, so you can register for the upcoming ones. You can see an overview of the next 4 that we're going to be doing over the course of the next couple of weeks. You can register on there as well. And I will say one of the, you know, this is, we want to give you all an inside look as to what we're doing. But there's all, this is, and so you guys can see what we're doing in an inside look. There is going to be at the bottom if you do want to look, because one of the questions we did get was how can folks contribute to helping support and expand this type of program? And there is an availability to do that at a link at the bottom if that's what you want to do as well. So did want to take the opportunity to answer that question as it relates. But We will leave the QR code up for just a little bit. I know we don't, somebody, you know, for those of you who don't have a camera phone and or don't have it handy with them, we will follow back up with you and send you the link over email for the to the series as well. I don't know if we can pop that into the chat now, if not, but I do see the question coming through. So we'll be sure to follow back up with the link for those of you as well to see the rest of the series. So thank you. So it's popped into the chat now. We are alight.org/workshares. But as I said, we will send that back to you all by email as well. So we just want to, you know, first of all, thank you all. We'll wrap up now. We want to thank everyone for joining us today. We really want to thank Cameron for the not only for the work on the program, but for opening the door to the rest of us so that we can really get that inside look that so many of us crave and are able to see now. So we hope to see you all in the future on our next four work series for those of you that are interested. And we will, we have a little bit of an internal tradition here at Alight. If people want, they can pop off their camera and wave goodbye. You are also—
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, everybody, yeah, for being here.
Bye.
Giving us an opportunity as well. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Cameron.
Thank you, Cameron. Nice
thank
to
you, Cameron.
See you.
Awesome bye. Job, Cameron.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Have a wonderful bye. Day. Bye-bye.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.